for the first quarter of 2026. My name is Sarangapani and I serve as General Manager of Corporate Reporting and Investor Relations at Rain Industries Limited. The speakers for today are Mr. Jagan Reddy Nellur, Managing Director of Rain Industries Limited, Mr. Gerard Srini, Vice Chairman of Rain Carbon Inc., and Mr. T. Srinivas Rao, CFO of Rain Industries Limited. Following the earnings presentation and management commentary released on May 8, 2026, we have received a wide range of questions from investors and analysts covering near-term market conditions as well as our mid- to long-term strategic priorities across business segments and balance sheet management. We will try to address these in a structured manner, providing as much clarity as possible while keeping our response focused and concise. Before we proceed, the management would like to note that during this management discussion, we may make forward-looking statements that include various subjects such as outcomes, trends, targets, and strategic directions. These statements rely on our current projections and are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to vary materially from those suggested by these forward-looking statements. There are certain risk factors that could lead to significant deviation from our predictions. With that, we will now start the discussion today with Gerard Srini. Jerry, the first question is regarding the aluminum industry. As aluminum smelters restart and selective capacity additions are likely to emerge in North America, Europe, and parts of Asia, how will the resulting incremental demand for calcined petroleum coke and coal tar pitch be over the next 3 to 5 years? What regions or customer segments are likely to be most meaningful contributors, and how well is Rain positioned to participate in this growth?
Thanks, Sarang. We see a steadily increasing demand for CPC and CTP over the next 3 to 5 years, largely driven by aluminum smelters restarts and selective brownfield expansions rather than broad-based new capacity. Activity in North America and Europe reflects improving economics from more stable power arrangements, trading measures, and tighter regional metal supply, while parts of Asia continue to contribute incremental growth. Importantly, this growth remains disciplined and recovery-led, which supports demand stability for carbon products. Incremental demand is coming from a mix of regions and customer models, including smelters that source anodes externally as utilization improves. Rain is reasonably well positioned to benefit. Our global production footprint, logistics, and blending capabilities, combined with our longstanding customer relationships, allow us to support customers across regions while remaining disciplined on capital allocation and focus on value-accretive growth.
Thanks, Jerry. The next question is about our carbon and advanced material segments. Can you help us better understand what is behind the recent improvements in Rain's carbon segment demand? Is the moment largely coming from highly offtake by existing customers, or are you seeing traction from new customer wins? And how would you briefly characterize the demand contribution across aluminum, graphite electrode, battery materials, and other end markets?
The recent carbon segment demand has been driven primarily by existing customers increasing offtake and making additional spot purchases rather than a step change in new customer additions. This is a positive signal as it reflects higher utilization rates and operating stability among established customers, particularly in primary aluminum. The most meaningful driver is the aluminum industry, which has improved operating rates, especially in India. As those facilities ramp back toward more typical utilization levels, we see a corresponding increase in CPC volumes. In parallel, we have also seen selective incremental demand from Europe, including the onboarding of a new aluminum customer. But the overall recovery remains utilization-led rather than led by structural expansion at this stage. Looking across the other end markets more broadly, we've seen an uptick from graphite electrode-related demand, which is showing steady improvement, primarily from existing U.S. customers. Other specialty carbon product applications are generally stable, with no material inflection points to call out, but they continue to provide diversification and baseline demand. With regards to the battery materials industry, this sector is growing from a smaller base, and the percentage growth looks strong, but it's important to keep that in context. We are closely monitoring growth outside of China as we want to expand our supplies beyond the Chinese markets, where we see the largest growth potential.
Okay. The next question is, can you walk us through how movements in crude oil and green petroleum coke pricing typically flow through to CPC pricing and margins, particularly during periods of heightened geopolitical or market volatility? And looking at the long term, as lithium ion battery demand scales up further, do you see competition within our carbon segment for GPC raw materials as a structural risk to CPC availability or more of a transient market dynamic?
That's a good question, and I'll take it in two parts. First, on pricing dynamics and volatility, and then on battery-driven competition for feedstocks. Starting with pricing, there's no direct relationship between crude oil prices and GPC or CPC pricing. While they're linked through the value chain, they do not move in lockstep. GPC is a refinery byproduct, and CPC is an upcycled product. So pricing at each stage is driven by distinct regional supply-demand dynamics and refinery run rates, energy economics, logistics costs, smelter operating rates, and regulatory requirements, among others. In volatile environments, our focus is less on predicting price direction and more on protecting margins and operational continuity. That includes disciplined inventory management, diversified sourcing, and managing flexibility across our asset base. As a converter, our role is not to absorb long-term feedstock inflation, but to consistently pass through raw material costs while earning an appropriate return for processing and servicing. Historically, that approach has allowed us to navigate volatility without structurally impairing margins. Turning to the question on batteries, it is true that the growth of lithium-ion batteries has increased interest in certain specialty GPC grades. And this does create periodic noise in specific feedstock markets. However, we currently view this as manageable and largely non-structural for a few reasons. Calcination for aluminum smelting CPC production remains by far the dominant end market for anode-grade GPC, both in terms of volume and long-term growth expectations. Battery demand is growing quickly, but from a much smaller base. And it tends to be more selective in terms of specifications and even geography. From Rain's perspective, our global sourcing footprint, long-standing supplier relationships, and blending capabilities give us resilience across cycles and feedstock shifts. We have been operating through multiple commodity and technology transitions over the last decades, and this is yet another evolution we feel well prepared to manage.
Tarang, you're muted.
Oh, thanks, Jerry. The next question is regarding our carbon segment distillation business. One of the competitors has recently commented on the possibility of exiting North American coal tar distillation while continuing to supply customers from its other locations outside of North America. How would we such a move, if it were to occur, affect the competitive landscape in this region? And what could that mean for Rain's positioning with respect to customer relationships, service reliability, and market economics over time?
We are aware of the conditional commentary from a competitor regarding their North American distillation footprint. At this stage, there is no clarity on whether these plans will be implemented or how supply would ultimately be structured if they are. Rain remains firmly focused on delivering reliability, continuity, and consistency for our customers. We operate in an established and proven North American supply network, supported by significant logistics flexibility, enabling us to meet customer requirements seamlessly across the region. Importantly, our volumes are anchored in longstanding strategic customer relationships, not opportunistic demand. More broadly, any potential reduction in regional distillation capacity would only heighten the importance of dependable local supply, logistics execution, and service reliability, areas where Rain has consistently invested and built a competitive advantage. While we do not speculate on competitors' actions, we're confident in our ability to support our customers, uphold disciplined pricing, and compete effectively under evolving market conditions. In fact, Rain is uniquely positioned in North America. Through our state-of-the-art distillation facility and solid pitch remelter in Canada, we have both the capacity and logistical reach to process all available North American coal tar and supply up to 100% of the region's carbon and creosote requirements.
Thanks, Jerry. The next question is back to carbon calcination. With CPC and GPC prices expected to surge, isn't it a good opportunity to ask customers to increase the adoption of ACP technology? If ACP kicks off in a proper manner, this could really help Rain lower its raw material cost and have more CPC volumes for selling it to clients.
Rain's ACP technology is particularly valuable in periods of raw material constraint, such as when there is limited availability of high-quality GPC, rather than in situations driven purely by price increases. The key advantage of ACP lies in its ability to process lower grade or more variable raw materials and still produce CPC that meets stringent customer specifications. While this enhances our raw material flexibility, ACP production does involve incremental conversion costs, which we carefully evaluate against the overall economic benefit. At present, our approach to ACP remains measured and disciplined. We are deploying the technology selectively and at relatively small volumes, with a strong focus on ensuring consistent product performance and gaining broader market acceptance. This cautious ramp-up strategy allows us to build confidence among customers while further optimizing the process. Over time, as market conditions warrant and acceptance continues to strengthen, ACP provides us with a scalable solution. It enhances our resilience to raw material volatility and positions us to respond more effectively to supply disruptions while maintaining the quality standards expected by our customer base.
Thanks, Jerry. The next question is, can you explain what major steps we have taken to strengthen the business model in our both carbon and advanced material segments? What kind of revenue growth and margin increase should it lead in 2026 and beyond? Also, has there been any reduction in refineries runs in China? If so, do you see any changes in dynamics here, and are they managing to keep full utilization due to crude stock levels? Has there been any reduction in Chinese dumping? Is China exporting CPC? Who is exporting to the new Indonesian aluminum smelters?
Thanks for the question, Siren. Our carbon and advanced material segments are becoming increasingly integrated. We're progressively channeling more carbon distillation output into our advanced materials facilities, where it is upgraded into higher value products such as phthalic anhydride, carbores, petrores, benzene, asphalt sealers, and others. Additionally, we leverage our logistics flexibility by transporting raw materials for both segments on the same vessels, helping to optimize and reduce overall freight costs. These growing synergies are expected to continue supporting Rain's revenue growth and margin expansion. Regarding the reduction in Chinese refinery runs, press reports indicate that the ongoing conflict in West Asia has reflected several coking and non-coking refineries in China, which depend on crude supplies from the region. We also understand that supply constraints within China have led to reduced or potentially restricted exports of certain refinery products. While this has influenced global availability of some petroleum products relevant to our advanced materials business, we have not yet observed a significant decline in exports affecting the carbon segment, including CPC. Finally, we believe that the new aluminum smelters in Indonesia are importing carbon anodes rather than CPC.
Thanks, Yuri. The next is a follow-up question. What implications will the current geopolitical issues have on the volumes and prices for the carbon and advanced material segments? Will the volumes in 2026 be lower than what we have envisaged prior to the commencing war? What percentage of the sales that we generally make in Middle East are affected? Are we able to sell these volumes to customers in other regions?
Geopolitical developments in West Asia are expected to affect Rain's carbon and advanced material segments to some extent, albeit in different ways. However, we do not anticipate a material impact on our 2026 sales. Within advanced materials, Rain has limited sales exposure in the region. However, the ongoing conflict has indirectly supported demand from European customers, partially offsetting any regional softness. In our carbon segments distillation business, Rain has historically maintained only modest CPP sales into West Asia, and therefore volumes have not been meaningfully affected. That said, we have seen some benefit on pricing from products linked to fuel oil benchmarks, which have strengthened in the current environment. For the calcination business, as noted in our earlier commentary, approximately 5% of global CPC demand is tied to the Middle East. Rain's direct exposure to the region remains relatively limited. While there are some localized disruption, we believe volumes can be redirected to other markets until conditions stabilize.
Thanks, Jay. We now have a few questions for Mr. Jagan. The recent annual report provides more commentary on the alternative raw material supplies. How has that benefited Rain in the current environment? Can you provide specific examples of the benefits we have seen due to our ability to use alternative raw materials?
Thanks for the question, Saran. Our R&D teams work closely across all our businesses to enhance efficiency in how we utilize our traditional raw materials and energy inputs, while also continuously exploring alternatives. A key area of focus is the evaluation of non-traditional raw materials, where we assess both potential cost savings and performance characteristics to ensure they meet our quality standards. In parallel, we have made targeted investments in multimodal and flexible logistics infrastructure across our sites. These capabilities allow us to efficiently receive and dispatch materials through a variety of transportation modes, enabling us to quickly adapt to changing market conditions and optimize freight economics. Together, these efforts give us the ability to continuously assess and balance the cost-benefit dynamics of an expanded range of raw material sources and end markets. This flexibility positions us to respond swiftly as global supply-demand conditions evolve. We have seen the value of this approach in the current environment, where we have successfully adjusted both our sourcing strategies and sales destinations in response to shifts in raw material availability and market economics. Our overarching objective remains to operate our facilities at optimum capacity utilization rates while consistently delivering high quality products to our customers.
Our next investor question is, the R&D expenditure for 2026 25 million Indian rupees, which is less than 0.5% of our revenue. Given the significant opportunities we anticipate in the battery anode materials and energy storage material sector, why are we not considering increasing our R&D spending? What new products are we planning to commercialize and introduce to the market? And can we expect any substantial revenue for these new products in 2026?
Rain is already an active participant in the BAM and ESM sectors through the supply of our established carbon and advanced material portfolios. At the same, we are systematically strengthening our position through sustained targeted R&D investment and focused innovation in these high growth areas. Our R&D efforts in BAM and ESM are supported by funding from multiple government bodies, enabling us to accelerate development while maintaining disciplined capital allocation. We have also entered into several joint development agreements with complementary material partners, allowing us to leverage combined technical expertise, share development costs, and significantly de-risking the innovation process. These collaborations, many of which are supported by funding from Canada, the province of Ontario, the European Union, and the Flanders region in Belgium, position us to advance efficiently while managing risk. In mid-2025, we commissioned a demonstration plant at our R&D center in Canada. This facility is a critical milestone in scaling and validating new technologies and will remain fully operational going forward from this year, supporting product development and process optimization. While we are still in the early stages of commercialization and are not in a position to disclose specific product pathways, we can state clearly that no new products from these initiatives are expected to reach commercial scale in 2026. However, the progress underway today is building a strong and credible platform for future growth in these strategically important segments. Beyond battery materials, Rain's R&D teams in Europe are actively advancing innovation in resins, rubber, and next generation technologies, raw materials, supported by our new pilot facility dedicated to developing feedstocks for a carbon segment. Although the development cycle in BAM and ESM is inherently longer, our broader R&D engine is already delivering tangible results. Approximately 30% of our current resin portfolio has been developed over the past 5 years, demonstrating the effectiveness of our innovation efforts. Looking ahead, we expect new materials to account for up to 40% of our carbon distillation portfolio by the end of this decade.
Thank you, Jagan. Our next question is, given the European chemical industry struggles, could management provide the outlook of the future merits or demerits of our European operations, especially since we spent a significant amount in our HSCR project?
The European chemical sector indeed has faced challenges in recent years. Structural pressures, including elevated labor costs, persistently higher energy prices, increasing regulatory and compliance burdens, and intensified competition from China have weighed heavily on industry performance, including Rain's European operations. However, conditions are now showing signs of stabilization and improvement. The European steel industry is beginning to recover, supported by targeted policy measures from the European Union. Energy markets have also demonstrated resilience following the adjustments made in response to the Ukraine conflict. Reflecting this improving backdrop, European chemical companies are reporting stronger performance in 2026. Against this environment, Rain has demonstrated a degree of resilience than many of its peers, underpinned by the strength of our underlying business model and the deep integration across our European operations. A key differentiator is the level of synergy embedded within our asset base. Our site are not only operationally linked, but also economically aligned, leveraging byproducts from our one facility as feedstock for another, and executing coordinated logistics strategies that consolidate shipments and optimize freight costs across regions. This integrated model delivers tangible advantages in both cost efficiency and operational flexibility, enabling us to mitigate external pressures more effectively. As a result, while Europe remains a structurally challenging market, Rain is positioned to sustain performance, adapt to evolving conditions, and perform well.
Thank you. The next question is, Rain has 1 million tons of CPC blending capacity in India. Given that many of our CPC competitors in India have reduced their output, what is the maximum possible that we can expect realistically to increase it to?
Under the current regulatory framework in India, Rain is permitted to import up to 370,000 tons per annum of CPC. These imports are required to be blended with CPC produced at our Special Economic Zone or SEZ facility. The regulations also provide a degree of flexibility in how this material can be marketed. CPC produced within the SEZ can also be supplied to domestic tariff area or DTA smelters against their corresponding import licenses. However, any CPC that has been blended using imported CPC is restricted for sale only as exports or to other SEZ-based smelters within India. Within this framework, Rain is well positioned to serve incremental demand in the Indian market. Our combination of domestic production and permitted imports, along with our operational flexibility, enables us to efficiently allocate volumes across customer segments, while remaining fully compliant with the regulatory requirements. Overall, this structure provides us with both a reliable supply base and the flexibility to support the needs of the Indian aluminium industry.
The next question is regarding our cement segment. By when can we expect a recovery in this business segment?
The cement segment is primarily focused on the South Indian market, where all our production and sales are concentrated. Over the past several years, the industry landscape in this region has evolved significantly, with large pan-Indian cement conglomerates acquiring regional players. This consolidation has driven an increase in operating rates, resulting in elevated production levels and contributing to periods of supply overhang and pricing pressure. More recently, however, there has been a shift towards capacity rationalization and improved operating discipline across the sector. Producers are increasingly optimizing production levels in line with demand, which has helped stabilize market dynamics. These developments are beginning to translate into early signs of recovery in the South Indian cement market, including improving pricing trends and more balanced supply-demand conditions. Rain, with its established regional presence and integrated operations, is well positioned to benefit from this improving environment. We are seeing encouraging indicators that support a gradual recovery in the performance of our cement segment.
Thanks, Jagan. Our final set of questions are for Mr. Srinivas. We have a few set of questions regarding debt. What is the plan for deleveraging? Is the company planning to repay partly and reduce gross debt? Is there a possibility to refinance existing high-cost 12.25% debt? Please mention the approximate quantum and likely interest savings. The current high debt is a single biggest worry in the minds of most of the investors. Once the issue starts getting resolved, the business is likely to reflect its true value, which is higher than the current.
Thank you for the question, Sarang. We typically look at our debt under three broad categories. In 2018, we raised a €390 million Term Loan B, which we subsequently refinanced in August 2023 at a reduced level of €353 million. As of today, the outstanding balance stands at €310.6 million, representing a reduction of approximately €80 million over this period. This reflects our continued focus on deleveraging while maintaining financial flexibility. Our senior secured notes have also seen a meaningful reduction, declining to $450 million as of March 2025, compared to $550 million in 2018. Across these two key instruments, we have reduced our gross debt by approximately $200 million over the past several years. Importantly, this has been achieved while continuing to service higher interest costs in rising rate environment and funding our ongoing maintenance capital expenditure requirements. The third component of our overall debt relates to working capital. This has increased in recent periods, driven primarily by higher input and product pricing, as well as the operational factors such as the ramp-up of our SEZ facility following the relaxation of import regulations in India. These dynamics have resulted in a higher inventory levels and trade receivables, leading to incremental working capital utilization. We remain actively engaged with capital markets and continue to monitor conditions for potential refinancing opportunities. Our approach is disciplined and opportunistic, as we are carefully evaluating redemption premiums, transaction costs, and the prevailing interest rates to ensure that any refinancing delivers a clear net benefit in terms of interest savings and long-term capital structure optimization.
Thank you. The next question is, how is the company planning to control its other expense considering higher logistics and fuel costs? Considering our requirement to source and sell materials to different parts of the world, would the other expense increase materially in 2026?
This is a very good question, Sanan. As Mr. Jazzy mentioned earlier, the current environment presents both positive and negative impacts to our business. On the positive side, we are seeing an increase in selling prices across several of our product lines. On the other hand, we are also experiencing cost pressures, particularly from higher raw material prices. As a converter business, our primary focus remains on sustaining stable operating margins through the cycle. Given the nature of our operations, there is typically a timing difference between the movements in input costs and the corresponding adjustments in selling prices. In a rising pricing environment, this lag works in our favor as selling prices tend to adjust more quickly than input costs, leading to margin expansion. Conversely, in a declining price environment, margins may come under pressure as input costs take time to reflect the softening trend in selling prices. However, when viewed over a full cycle, these effects tend to balance out. Our disciplined approach to pricing, cost management, and operational efficiency enables us to maintain relatively stable margins over time, despite short-term volatility in both input costs and product pricing.
Okay. The next question is, will the actual tax outgo for 2026 be lower than the reported tax number due to the deferred tax assets in our books?
Let me elaborate further on the tax line item. Broadly, it comprises of two components, current tax and deferred tax. The current tax component reflects the estimated tax payable on profits generated across the various jurisdictions in which we operate. This represents the actual cash outflow subject to local tax regulations and applicable rates. The deferred tax component, on the other hand, arises from the timing differences between the accounting income and taxable income. This includes the recognition of deferred tax assets related to historical carry-forward losses, interest deductions, and other temporary differences, which can be utilized to offset current taxable income over time. As our earnings improve, we would expect the current tax outflow to trend higher, particularly as the benefits from previously accumulated deferred tax assets is gradually utilized. In addition, regulatory constraints such as the limitations on the deductibility of interest expense in key jurisdictions like the US and Europe may further influence the effective tax rate and cash tax payments. Overall, while deferred tax positions provide some moderations in the near time, A sustained improvement in profitability will naturally result in higher normalized tax outflow over time.
The next question is on the working capital management. We have been through these phases before, where a sharp increase in material prices increases profits, but negatively impacts cash flow due to the working capital demand. Is the management considering something different to ensure that this volatility is handled better through the cycle this time, that we come out of this phase with a better balance sheet?
The primary driver of working capital is the volume required to support sales demand. Our plants do not operate on a just-in-time inventory model. Accordingly, we maintain sufficient raw material inventories to ensure uninterrupted production and timely fulfillment of customer requirements. This naturally results in incremental working capital utilizations as volumes increase. During upcycles, higher production levels and elevated input prices typically lead to an increase in inventories and receivables, resulting in a use of cash. Conversely, as the cycle moderates and trends reverse, working capital unwinds, releasing cash back into the business. This inherent cyclicality in working capital acts as a stabilizing factor. The release of cash during down cycles supports liquidity and helps us offset margin pressures as we experienced in the year 2024. Overall, our approach ensures that we remain operationally resilient while effectively managing cash flows across market cycles.
Thank you. The next question is, after the increase of volume in the carbon segment in the fourth quarter of 2025, there was a fall of volumes during first quarter of 2026. Is there any specific reason for this? Also, what is the expectation for the rest of the year?
The slightly lower volumes in the first quarter of 2026 compared to the fourth quarter of 2025 were primarily driven by the timing of certain shipments rather than any change in the underlying demands. As Ms. Jerry mentioned earlier, we expect volumes to improve in line with the current market dynamics. With growing demand for aluminum globally, there is a corresponding increase in demand for key inputs such as calcined petroleum coke and coal tar pitch, which directly benefits our carbon segment. Looking ahead, we expect our volumes to remain stable and well supported for the balance of the year, underpinned by strong end market fundamentals and consistent demand trends.
Thank you. Here is our last question for today's session about the forex fluctuation. How is the Indian rupee depreciation against US dollar and euro impacting our business? Is it net gain or loss for us? And what is the foreign currency exposure we are dealing with? And any foreign forex hedging being considered in the near future?
As we have consistently highlighted in our discussions with stakeholders, movements in Indian rupees against the US dollar, whether appreciation or depreciation, do not have a significant impact on our overall business performance. A substantial portion of our foreign exchange exposure is naturally hedged through the structure of our operations, including alignment of our revenues and costs across currencies. While there remains a small unhedged component, it is limited in scale and not expected to have a material effect on our financial results. Overall, our diversified geographic footprint and prudent risk management practices ensure that foreign exchange volatility has only a minimal impact on our performance.
Thank you, Srinivas, Jagan, and Jerry. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes Trains Management Q&A session for the first quarter of 2026. Thank you.